Good morning, everybody. My name is John Peer. I go by the handle Peer from Kalamazoo, Michigan. I've been geocaching for probably about 9 months now. So I figured I'd give this presentation, see how many people else out there knew about it, and spread the word. So what is geocaching? It's basically kind of like an adult scavenger hunt. It's a game. You basically find coordinates. I mean, people post caches out in the world. There's several million out there right now. And you post the coordinates, and then whoever is going to find it, you download the coordinates to either a GPS, your smartphone, which has there's several apps out there for, I'll talk to you about later, and you go find the cache. At the very lowest level, you're locating an object. I have several different types up here. It'll probably be easier to see once we hit up case. Just different types of caches. And each one contains, at the very, very least, a log. So you're going, using these coordinates, finding the cache, sign the log, and then you record your find online. So, I mean, there's different methodologies of, I mean, what you get out of it. Ultimately, in the end, it's just like a game. And best of all, it's free outside of gas. All right, so why geocaching? This is what people get out of it. I mean, most people, it's a very family-friendly game for the most part. There are different difficulties that children may encounter, especially with terrain or they can be, well, I guess they could be underwater, they could be in swamps, random shit like that. Some people do it for the numbers. The number one person out there right now has over 51,915 finds, and that's over the course of probably about 8 years. Myself, I cache under the name Team PV, and we only have, I mean, in 9 months, we have about 360 finds. So it's what you put into it, what you get out of it. Ultimately, you're walking through the woods finding fucking Tupperware. And it is, because, I mean, this is literally, it's called a Lock and Lock, it's the brand name. Watertight seal. Fucking Tupperware. So these are the normal cache types, or these are the approved cache types on the geocaching.com website. Traditional cache is just going to be some normal kind of container. I mean, all these I have up here are considered traditional. Multicache is basically a staged cache. So you hit. You find your first one, it gives you coordinates, you hit a second one, it can be any n number of stages. Letterbox is kind of a hybrid between what's called letterboxing, which is basically geocaching, except there's stamps involved, and you go, you take your personal stamp, you stamp their log, and you take their stamp and you stamp your own log. I haven't found the interest in that, but they've hybrided it to geocaching, and you just sign their log now. It contains the same type of things. Larger caches are going to have different trade items inside, normally dollar store shit, stuff kids like, nothing that's ever really interested me, per se. Event caches, I actually tried setting up an event cache for today. They denied me on two reasons. I didn't do it 2 weeks ahead of time. I did it 2 days ahead of time because I only knew I was speaking on a Wednesday. And you got to pay $120 to get in here. And they don't like pay for. So their basis is free. So they denied that event cache. I did place a cache around the building here, which we'll get to later, and I'll give you the coordinates if you're interested in going to find it. It's not posted on the geocaching website right now, and I'm actually going to be moving it because of minor technical difficulties with its current location, but we'll deal with that later. Unknown caches are things like puzzles. People will put out there ciphers, and they'll give you the end result, and you basically have to figure out which cipher to use. Different random puzzles like that. So you figure out, derive the coordinates from their puzzle, and then you have the coordinates to go find. CITO is cash in, trash out. It's kind of like a Earth-friendly cache. It's not really a find. It's kind of like an organized event where everybody comes around, picks up trash in a particularly dumpy part of location, I don't know. Earth caches are kind of like science-based caches. You go to a certain location, And it takes a decent amount of work to build out an earth cache because you have to find a specific geological location, be it water or certain environments. And it's learning. And it teaches you about the cache, and then you have to go there and do a certain list of things. Like I know some require you to test pH of the water there or calculate the rate of flow at a dam. And lastly, where I go caches, they're kind of like download programs. You need a Where I Go player. I know they make them for Android. And some of them are games. Some of them are, I guess they're all basically games. But it requires you to do certain events and hit different, areas. One I know recently is based out of Flint, Michigan. And it's a fast food cache. And he gives you a list of like six different fast food chain slogans. And it's within a 3-mile radius of Genesee Valley Mall in Flint. And you have to in a 3-mile radius around this mall, figure out which fast food restaurant, drive to that restaurant, go through the main entrance, and based on the GPS coordinates he has in there and whatever your phone is reporting, then it will mark that one as completed. You basically go through all the different six slogans. Once you complete that, it gives you a final GPS coordinate. Locate that coordinate, and then you have that cache logged. Sizes, they range from micro up to, large, and then other. Micro is basically a log only. There is actually, it would fall under other, and it's considered a nano. And they range about half an inch by a half an inch in size. Micros, these up here I have, would be considered micros. All they contain is a log. This one's just a key holder, magnetic key holder. This I built out is just a plate cover. But on the back, I have magnets in here. So I could literally magnetize this right to a light pole. And who would tell that's what it is? I've seen many of those. This one is just electrical pipe. Ideally, the log is right inside here, so you have to unscrew it to get to it. Small caches, these would be considered small, my Tupperware. Contain a log book like everything else. Inside, there are other random pieces of trade called swag. Basically, the idea is it's trade even or trade up. So whatever you put in is supposed to have equal or more value of what you're taking out. I don't really deal with it because it's normally dollar store, kid toys, kind of stuff like that. Regular size is going to be a little bit bigger. Ammo cans are popular for this. And then large is going to be the biggest size. There's very few larges out there because they're just going to be gigantic, like gallon milk jugs or... like the big paint cans you can buy, 5-gallon paint cans. Yep.
In our area,
trash can they have for a large? How full is it?
I haven't
seen it lately. That is a lot of stuff to put in it. And then others is going to be anything that doesn't conform to the other four sizes. So nanos or anything else you can think of. I've seen people take 2 Gatorade bottle lids, cut them off, epoxy them together, and it's basically a lid on each side. All it has inside is a log, and they fish wire it to a bush, a tree, somewhere to hide it. Difficulty in terrain ratings. There's each cache has these difficulty in terrain ratings. They range from 1 to 5, and they break down into halves. Difficulty, the higher the difficulty means it's going to be harder to find. Might need to think about it more. It might not be in the obvious place. Not a real good way to explain, what makes it difficult. It's perception, really. Terrain, higher terrain is basically going to be a more risky walking environment, underwater, in a tree. I climbed 30 foot up a tree for one cache once. Interesting. So that's going to be the basis of, I mean, what you want to go find. You'd be looking at these ratings. Definitely kid friendly. You're going to want to stay away from the higher end. I mean, unless you want to risk them. But I guess that's personal call. I don't have any kids, so I don't worry about it. Geocaching apps. So I use Android. That's what I know the most about. I use CGeo because it's free, and it's really the best app out there for geocaching on any environment. It's made by a guy who lives somewhere overseas, hell-bent on making a free geocaching app and not working with and potentially even violating the TOS of geocaching.com. He says he doesn't. They say they do. I think they've reached mutual agreement of they're not just going to screw with each other at this point. But he owns the Groundspeak app, and there's no touching it. Groundspeak is the parent company of geocaching. They make their own app. It's $10 for life, free updates for that. It's from what I've heard. I haven't tried it out, but most people who go to that end up switching over to CGeo because I mean it is free and it is better. He puts out updates and new features almost once a week. For the iPhone, the only one I really know of for the iPhone is the Groundspeak app. Again, $10. It's the exact same app as on Android. BlackBerry, I don't have BlackBerry. I don't have no clue on what they have, if they even have anything, which they might not. All right, so geocaching is a free membership. It gets you access to all the caches out there that are not set up as a premium cache. When someone puts out a cache, they have the option to find, is this premium members only or is it available for everybody? There's millions out there that are just available for anybody. So premium membership is kind of an upgrade membership, $30 yearly. I myself am a premium member just for some of the benefits it offers, specifically automated notifications. Depending on how you geocache, there's a thing called first to finds that people kind of hold some value to. And basically, when a cache comes out local to you, they'll race out 24 hours a day to find it and be the first to find of this cache. Whatever you think, I mean, if that suits you, go for it. If not, go to sleep. But automated notifications gets that done. It sends just basically an email based on a certain config of how many miles around your home location. You provide the email address. I set mine up actually to send me a text. So I know. Pocket queries, they're just basically database searches. They give you a bunch of different selection criteria, checkboxes, radio buttons, and you pick what you want to see in a pocket query. And it basically pulls back the result set. And then from there, you can either save a GPX file or a LOC file and upload it to your GPS. CGeo supports it, so you can upload it to your Android phone. And it would just give you that criteria of what you want to go see. Say you just want to find traditional caches you haven't found yet, you don't own, and they're within a 10-mile radius of your home. And it'll download all that to you for on the fly. Member-only caches, these are the premium member-only caches. They're no real different than any traditional caches outside of they're just restricted by the cache owner. Favorites. This allows you to go in and mark a cache that you really liked as a favorite. I don't see the point in it, but lists. Nice feature. There's quite a few puzzles out there or challenges out there that require you to basically maintain a list of caches you found to qualify for it. So, I mean, you can do it not being a premium member. You just got to write it down, remember it for when you go log this cache. What I completed recently was five level five caches. So it's either a difficulty five or a terrain five, which are going to be the hardest. You had to get five of those in 1 month. Last month, a friend and I went down to Indiana. We got six of those type of caches in 2.5 hours. So that was one. I made a list for it, sent the list to the cache owner, which gave me the ability to log this challenge cache. And lastly, stats. Recently, geocaching.com bought a company called mygeocachingprofile.com, and they're now integrating this stats based on what you've logged on your public profile. So it just shows different stats, like how many caches per day on average, and things like that. All right, so this is the Nauticon 8 cache. No one's found this yet. It currently exists somewhere around this hotel. Coordinates are up top. They're going to be moving, but they're there right now. It's going to be moving probably about 600 feet away from there. I have the new coordinates, but not here yet. It is a micro. Actually, I can tell you, looks like this, because it is a duplicate to this one. It's just listed as a difficulty terrain of 1.5, 1.5, just a basic, if you're not very hard to find. Obviously, if it's a key holder, it's magnetic. That helps. It should be fairly easy. Find some metal. It's not that one. and if you do have the CGO or the geocaching app, you can use, this is the unique identifier, GC code. That will be a search criteria within the applications, allow you to find all the information, especially if you're doing it from your phones. I like using phones better because I don't have to download any GPX or LOC files and upload them to my GPSR. I just do it on the fly with my phone, move on from there. Then I always have the latest updates in case anything happens. Are we doing on time here? Certainly. So, anybody have any questions before we move up to case? So I'm sure I'm still good on time. I know there's, being from Kalamazoo, I know there's one in South Haven, Michigan. It's actually outside of legitimate diving areas to where you almost need to be a master diver to get to. It's 40 feet out in some boat wreckage. Yes? Interesting. 1 minute, okay. I can deal with 1 minute. Any other questions? Yep.
Is this a lot easier than the orienteering courses or body
training? I'm not aware of the orienteering courses.
Okay.
I could not compare.
The orienteering courses is what we did like in Boy Scouts, where you get a list of degrees and latitude, compass or settings.
It would be a whole hell of a lot easier. I mean, when just on my phone, if I look up a cache on here, I can throw the cache into a Google map. And I mean, from there, I can hook up navigation to it, and it'll get me closest drive time. And then once I'm there, I can, there's a compass as well as radar apps. And I mean, you just hold your phone out and follow the arrow. It does everything for you. There's absolutely no real knowledge of latitude, longitude needed. Yes, it is easy. Yes, sir. Yes, that's where it started. I know of in Kalamazoo. It's called the Al Sabo Nature Preserve. It's several hundred acres of preserve. I mean, you could spend several days in there trying to find. I think there's 25-ish in there. I mean, my wife waded out into a swamp to grab one day. And that was in February. So waders are definitely a tool to take, as well as like wrenches, screwdrivers, shit like that. Yes, it's frustrating too. But hopefully most of them are there. And if you don't like geocaching, please don't go steal the shit out from where they're at. There are people out there that do that. All right, so that is everything. Thank you all for attending. We're going to go up to case after this.